Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
And I'm Ben, and we are here with our super producer, Noel the Idea Man Brown. That's appropriate for this podcast, wouldn't you say?
I believe so, yeah.
And most importantly, you're here, which makes this Car Stuff.
Ah, shucks, Ben. Most importantly, you're here.
Oh, I was talking to the audience.
Oh!
Now it's awkward.
It is. Well, you gestured towards me. I guess you're gesturing towards the invisible audience here in the
right.
studio.
Yeah, I'll be honest with everyone. I'm a little bit loopy because I just got out of the dentist earlier. Oh,
some decent pain pills, maybe?
You know, I didn't ask, but whatever they gave me when I was in the office, man, it might be a weird episode today. But we have an announcement before we start, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we've got something that we talk about this frequently. Mm-hmm. At this point, a few times we talked about this. Our old friend Glenn Beck,
the Glenn Beck, not the radio host guy.
Yeah, not the. Celebrity guy.
Right, no.
We're talking about the real Glenn
Beck. The real one,
yeah. The one that listens to our show.
Mm-hmm.
So just before, you know, Glenn participates in one of his rallies, because he participates in these all the time, a couple times a year, really, he sends in some information about the rally, the upcoming rally, and what it's all about, who it's for, et cetera, hoping that maybe some Car Stuff listeners will, you know, stop by his page, you know, maybe donate a little bit, maybe just get some information, maybe participate in the next rally. That'd be really cool. Because I went out, recently, the last rally that they
had. Up in Athens.
Yeah, I was in the Athens area, I guess. They stayed in Athens, but they went to a drag strip, Atlanta Dragway. And I spent the evening there with Glenn and some of the guys from the rally, and man, what fun that was. It was a blast. A huge adrenaline rush. So he's participating in another one, so we'll talk about it just here for just a moment. And it's the Ohio Valley 700. Again, it's run by Rally North America, and I'll give you all the site information in just a moment, but it's happening very, very soon. It's happening from October 9th through the 11th. It's a two-day event. So here's what Glenn says. This one is for the Epilepsy Foundation of Western Ohio.
Yeah.
And the mission of the Epilepsy Foundation is to promote epilepsy awareness and research and to provide support for epilepsy sufferers and their caregivers. This rally is in memory of Cody Converse, a young man with lots of promise who suddenly lost his life due to the effects of epilepsy. And then he's got a link here to his own donation page for Team Limer. We've talked about the Team Limer Mustang many times.
Right. Yeah. Longtime listeners will recognize the Team Limer Mustang.
Yeah. And I'll try to coordinate this. So the day this episode releases, I'll put this link on our Facebook page. And that way you can get to it. And it will be just ahead of the rally and you're able to donate if you feel like it. Do whatever he feels right. I'm going to make my donation. But
we'll put it on our Twitter as well. We're CarStuffHSW at both of those.
Yeah, we'll do that. And the goal this year is $80,000. And that sounds like a lot of money. But they have already – this charity, this association, the Rally North America, has already to date raised something like $40,000 for that foundation alone. And overall, Rally North America events have raised something like $450,000for all these different events. The last one, they tried to raise, I think it was $125,000. Hmm. And I think they got right up to the goal. I don't know if they made the $125,000 or it's like $120,000, something like that. They got really, really close. So some big numbers. This event, this rally, if you're in the area, it's definitely worth seeing these guys when they come through town, if you're not already part of the rally.
And these are all of the money they raise goes to charities.
Yeah, yeah. Every single bit of it. Yeah, yeah. Every penny of it. And it's an accredited, charity so that you can, donate with confidence, I guess.
Right.
And this 2-day rally, I'll tell you where it goes just so you have an idea if you want to catch these guys at one of the locations because it's so worth it.
Oh, and mention the scavenger hunt part. That's cool.
Oh, we definitely will. They start out in Mackinac City in Michigan. That's the last city in the lower peninsula of Michigan. So right before the bridge that connects the upper peninsula and the lower peninsula.
That's
where they're going to begin in some marina up there. Mm-hmm. And that's an early morning start. And then they head down to Muskegon, Michigan. And on day two, that's where they start. And then they finish in Xenia, Ohio, which is, I think it's just outside of Dayton, Ohio, kind of in the, I guess it'd be the south. West side of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's again a shorter rally, but definitely worth it. I think they're going to go to a local drag strip again. So if you can catch them somewhere in the Xenia area at the drag strip, you might want to do that. It's mm-hmm. definitely worth seeing.
It's Killcare Raceway, right?
Killcare Raceway. That's the one. I didn't have it in my notes here, but thank you, Ben. And this whole thing is kind of run like a scavenger type thing. It's a scavenger type of rally.
Uh-huh.
So, they've got a list of things to get, but it's all stuff they drive to. It's an automotive rally. So, that's the tie-in with this whole thing. And it's, I got to tell you, Ben, the cars that participate in this rally are so cool looking. I mean, they've got them done up with, the numbers and the sponsorships and all that. They look like race cars on the street. And a lot of them are not muscle cars, but I'm thinking of like pony cars.
Okay, yeah.
A lot of pony cars and sports cars and, I think some of them are rental cars, as a matter of fact. Why abuse your own car, right?
What do you say when you're renting the car? I guess
you'd say nothing.
You don't say anything.
Yeah.
It's but, like Omerta.
Well, but
code
like
of silence.
Yeah, you're right. But like Glenn's car. I mean, the Team mm-hmm. Limer Mustang. He's had that for a long time, and it's kind of his baby. It's a really great event. It's a lot of fun to be around these people and. I'll tell you, I'm going to let you in on this, Ben. I think you and I have already talked about this, so it's nothing new to us.
Yeah.
We're considering doing something with the rally next year. I think there's one in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about somehow being involved, a car stuff team maybe, or a ride along or something.
Yeah.
We're going to do something with it. We're not exactly sure what level yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we're excited about it. So. Anyways.
Spoiler alert, everyone acts surprised next summer.
Yeah, and so if you want more information about this, you can go to rallynorthamerica.com and check that out. And again, I'll post the donation page right to the Team Limer page. So if you want to donate to Glenn's team, please do so.
And so, with that announcement, safe and happy driving to you, Mr. Beck and company. We are segueing into today's episode, which is something we didn't expect we would end up doing.
No, I didn't think so. We didn't think we were going to get to a second part of this whole thing, right? We thought we were going to wrap it up kind of quick because what are you going to talk about with these cars? They didn't really even make it anyways. They're kind of a footnote in history.
Yeah, we're talking about cars that never made it. And Scott, how is naive a fair word? With the best of intentions, we set out to record just one episode and we each had what we thought were a handful of interesting cars that never really made it, whether they never made it past the concept stage, which were what most of mine were, or whether they just never really made it into the public eye.
Yeah, a few of these are kind of like, one-off cars, a few cars that are based on other vehicles. So they're like a kit car version of another vehicle.
Right.
And very limited production. So no one really knows about them. They're very scarce. They're very, they're like hidden jewels, really.
Bad. Yeah.
Because some of these will turn up in museums. Some of them are such oddities that, you may never, ever get to see them. You know, they live in some obscure little museum and tucked away in some corner of the world. But mostly, these are just fun cars to look at and fun cars to talk about.
Right. And we have been lucky enough to see just a couple of these, one of which we mentioned previously, which was the BMW.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
We're going to go right back into it because we didn't realize we were running out of time until we had, like 3 minutes or something.
Yeah, until it was way too late. So we've got a, well, about half of our list to go still, right?
Right,
for
yeah.
each of us, right? So mm-hmm. Do you want to start or do you want me to start, Ben?
Why don't you do the honors, Mr. Benjamin?
All right. First up on my part two list here is the this is kind of a strange one. The Smart for Fun 2 concept in 2006 that was converted into a monster truck. So, smart car monster truck.
All right.
Now, I think this kind of made the rounds on the, you know, on the internet. It's an oddity. It's a one-off type thing. But they used, here's what I found particularly interesting. They used a Unimog chassis for it. And we have a show on the Unimog.
Yes.
Which ran, so I think it was right around, well, I've got the date here. It was May of 2011, How Unimogs Work. And I think that one is it's a high-speed stuff show, Ben. And it's early days, so be kind if you listen to that one. It's a little rough. But I got to tell you, Ben, the look of this thing is so unusual. I mean, it looks so ridiculous. Yeah. It's like a cartoon, really.
It really is, because I'm not saying that the Smart City Coupe is a bad car or something, but I just don't know. It doesn't fit.
Well, you know, there was a whole bunch of cars that for a long time, you know, people would take like an El Camino.
Right.
And they'd put it on a Blazer chassis and then, you know, put these giant wheels on it. So they're kind of making their own little monster truck that they could drive around town. And there's a lot of versions of that. I know we've seen hearses. We've seen Cadillacs. We've seen smart cars like this one. I've seen, you know, of course, pickup trucks they'll do that with as well. You know, small pickup trucks like a Ford Ranger or something.
That
looks kind of funny atop something like this. But when you put a smart car on top of a Unimog chassis, I mean, it looks comical, really. It does. Very funny looking, and never, ever intended for production, of course. But, you know, if you didn't catch this when it kind of made the rounds in 2006 or, mm-hmm. you know, 7 or 8 when everybody kind of heard of it,
right?
Then it just kind of went away. You don't really see this making the rounds on the blogs anymore or anything like that.
Yeah, it's true. And something like that always pops up. Someone always seems to have a Unimog chassis or some a lot of skill and spare time when it comes to some mad science. Yeah. I always think about the jet engine Beetle. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I do.
That one was a great one, just for the sake of how far can we take it.
Yeah, somebody who can weld, and then, of course, you know, they just take it to the extreme. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to put a jet engine in this tiny little car, or I'm going to put this smart vehicle on top of a Unimog chassis. It's an interesting exercise either way, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I would say it's worth doing if you can do it. Now, this, I would say, the Smart for Fun 2 concept is an exercise in blending two extreme opposites.
Yeah, sure.
So it's all about extremes. And with extremes in mind, I would like to take us to what I consider an extreme in class. Scott, have you heard of the DeSoto Adventurer 2?
No, I have not.
The DeSoto Adventurer 2, my friend, is the kind of vehicle that James Bond would drive if he were in the U.S. It's a European-style GT coupe crossed with a big American cruiser. It's got a Ghia body.
Oh, cool.
It's got a Hemi engine. And it's, you know, it's like, this perfect marriage of Chrysler and Fiat. So it had cowhide upholstery, a machine turned chrome dash, a retractable rear windshield, matched luggage. It came with matched luggage.
Of course it did. You know, Ben, I think I really like everything that comes out of the Ghia factory.
Yeah.
It always seems to look good. There may be, you know, an oddball here or there that I'm not crazy about, but it seems like just about everything they produce out of that factory is really good looking.
Yeah, and it's what's strange about the DeSoto Adventurer 2 is that it's a one-off, right? So I don't know if it's quite fair to say it never made it, but it's been bouncing back and forth between collectors since it was built. You can read an article in Jalopnik about a guy who found it at the Gateway Auto Museum. And it was part of the collection of a guy named John Henricks, who was executive at Discovery Channel.
That's kind of interesting. I like it when a car like that, a notable vehicle like that, is sold between museums, so you get a chance to see it in different parts of the world sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so maybe it lives in Sweden for a while, and, you know, I don't have mm-hmm. much of a chance of seeing that right now, unless I travel there, which is not in the any time in the near future. But, like, let's say the Lane Auto Museum picks it up here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Then I'll be able to get to go see that vehicle. And then they might sell it over to the Petersons. So if you're out in the California area, like mm-hmm. L.A., you're going to get to see it there. I like that when they kind of trade it around a little bit.
Yeah.
Mix it up.
Oh, and just for point of order there, Hendrix does not actually own the DeSoto. The owner is displaying it in the museum.
Oh, I see. So it's on loan, the collection on loan.
Right.
By, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I got another one that, this is an unusual vehicle. Kind of a kit car, I guess. This is a, this is called the Hustler and the Hustler Huntsman 6. And it's from 1978. I know it's a funny name. I get that. But, it is a strange, strange vehicle. So, They sold about 500 of these total, and you'd never guess it because I've never in my life seen one. But it is what they called a multi-purpose vehicle. I guess you couldn't call it a sport utility vehicle back then. So multi-purpose vehicle. It was designed by a guy named William Towns, and it's based on Mini Mechanical. So it has a Mini underpinning to this whole thing. And when you see people standing next to it, you get an idea of the size, but you don't see that when you just look at a photo of it, you know, out in a field or something. The strangest one to me is possibly, I think this is the Huntsman 6 that I'm looking at here with the six wheels. That's got to be it.
Right? Yeah.
Strange, strange vehicle. I mean, it's kind of like a mix of like three of these different vehicles. And tell me if you see these in there.
Okay.
Of course, we know it's Mini underpinnings, but it looks like kind of like a golf cart.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
A Mini Moke, if you know what that is. Mm-hmm. I think you do.
Yeah.
And a first or second generation Range Rover kind of mixed in.
You know, I think putting the Range Rover in there is very kind.
You think so? The same general shape.
Okay, yeah. As far as like the structure of it, sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Those are some tiny wheels.
Well, yes, they are. Yeah. And, you know, looking at the shape of the Huntsman 6, I think that definitely has the back end of the Range Rover, but on a much scaled down. Scale, I guess. I don't know how to better say that.
I mean, the first thing I thought when I saw it was golf cart.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It does look like that. And you know what? Here's this is kind of crazy, Ben. Found this out about them because someone who had some knowledge of these vehicles had written somewhere on some forum that I was reading about it. And there were a lot of variations of this. There was the Hustler 4, 6, the Huntsman that had both 4 and 6 wheel versions. Then there was the Hellcat, the Sport, the Holiday, and the Force edition. I think there's even more than that. And this is crazy. The Hustler Highlander version, one that had 6 wheels, which might be the one that's in this photograph here, had a Jaguar V12 engine in it. So you could get a little V12.
Okay, wait.
Yeah, I know. It's like a luxury edition version of the Huntsman or the Hustler Huntsman.
You're changing my mind about this because at first I thought this looks like, you know, this is somewhere between a church van and a golf cart,
yeah.
But that engine changes the equation.
Yeah, so I guess there is one. There's one out there, and I don't know how many were built like this, but there's one out there with a Jaguar V12 engine, and it is one of the six wheel vehicles. So you can get that look with the Jaguar V12.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I will. I don't know what I'm doing this weekend yet. My plans haven't solidified.
Look into it. It might be worth your time.
I just want to give an honorable mention to one of the vehicles that I think is one of the ugliest vehicles I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. The Dodge Deora.
Dodge Deora.
Oh, you'll recognize it as soon as I show it to you.
Ben.
You like this one?
That's a beautiful car.
Are you serious?
You know what? This is a polarizing vehicle. This is one that you don't like at all.
1965.
I love this vehicle.
Why? Why do you love it?
It has a classic look to it. A 1960s concept vehicle look to it. And I love that. Or early 1970s. I don't remember which. I think I've already posted that one to our Facebook page.
Yeah, you have. I would say though that the front entryway, the way that opens, that's cool. I just don't like the way it looks. It looks like it's missing whatever it's supposed to attach to.
Really?
Yeah, it looks incomplete. That's the best way I could say it.
It's like a cross between an old van, like a 1960s van.
And then a pickup truck.
Yeah, yeah, but it's done seamlessly. It's like the same body that goes all the way through the whole thing. And to me, that is a beautiful vehicle. I really do like that one.
You know what it is? It looks like it's backwards. It looks like it's situated backwards because if you look at it from this angle, imagine that there was, you know, instead of a pickup, right here, there was coupe seating, and then there was a gigantic engine right here.
Okay.
And it drove that way. That's what it looks like. There's something like almost a flying shoe design about it.
You'd have to squint and step far back from the photograph, but like a Corvette. You know, like how that long, long front hood, and then you know, the whole back end is where the people sit, and you know, the fuel tanks and all that stuff. But
right.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Corvette facing the wrong way.
I think that's what it is. On a fundamental level, I'm like, who built this backwards car?
You know, there's a few cars out there like that people think, like, it looks like it's facing the wrong way. Like, or it's not so much like which end is the front. It's like, it just looks like it's backwards.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you know, comparing that to a Corvette, I understand, you know, it doesn't have the same. I'm just saying the proportions are about the same.
Right.
You know,
ratio.
Yeah. 2/3 of it are to the back end of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a Corvette, it's the opposite. So
I can't believe it. We haven't really fallen out on something since, flying cars?
No, there's got to be something that we've argued over.
What's the Diora now? Because that thing is a train wreck.
Oh, Ben. Well, you know what? Listeners should write in and tell us what they think of the Diora, because I'll have to check, but I thought we got a decent response about it on Facebook.
Yeah.
I think so.
I guess the question would be, like, what kind of ugly stick was it beaten with?
All right, I see.
I'm packing the ballots.
We are not going to get past this one, I can see.
Okay, anyway, it was introduced as a concept vehicle at the 1967 Detroit Autorama, based off a Dodge A100 pickup, and it was customized by this pair of brothers. They created a front entry hatch, which we mentioned earlier. The engine is under the truck bed, and a lot of people seem to love the styling.
Huh, what do you know?
Well, what do you know?
What do you know? Well, 50% of the people in this room love the styling. Exactly 50%.
Exactly 50%. And Noel, don't weigh in on this.
Well, Noel's not in the room.
All right.
He's not in the room, but, you know, he could come in here and make it a 2/3 majority.
Yeah, one way or the other. One way or the other, my friend.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
All right, I am going to tell you about this is a true hypercar. Remember when we did the hypercar episode?
Yeah.
Long time ago, right?
High-speed stuff.
Yeah, I think it was high-speed stuff. And we're talking about cars that get in the 100 miles per gallon range, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is one from back in 1992, and it was built by General Motors. It's called the Ultralight Concept. And the Ultralight Concept, it was actually used in a film, so we'll tell you about that in just a minute. But it's a carbon fiber prototype, again, back in 1992. That was relatively unheard of. I mean, I know we had, you know, the compact vehicles that didn't yet have all the weight that they do now.
Right.
Some of those were getting, like, you know, 60 miles per gallon, you know, in the late 80s.
Yeah.
But this is one that pushed it up to 100. And it did that with, of course, you know, as you mentioned, carbon fiber bodies and, you know, plastic bodywork and all this stuff, you know, the lowest weight possible. Is how they went about building this one. It has kind of a cool look. It's a futuristic look, and it was used in the 1993 film Demolition Man as one of the squad cars.
Three seashells. Do you remember Demolition Man very well?
No, I don't, Ben.
Well, for our listeners who do remember Demolition Man, I'm just going to say seashells.
Seashells.
Three seashells. Right. Dennis Leary was in that film as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Good memory.
This was during I was talking about this recently because this was during the phase in Dennis Leary's career where he would sometimes just appear in other people's stuff and they would write into the story the opportunity for him to go on a rant.
Oh.
And so he goes on this rant that really impressed me as a kid and that I probably wasn't supposed to listen to because it was just filled with curse words.
Yeah, you know what? I can remember some of that. Like, he was famous for those rants. Does he still do that? I mean, I think he's
I don't know.
He was in a recent series not long ago, a few years ago, about firefighters, right?
Yeah, Burn Notice.
Yeah,
was that it?
No, I think it was a different one.
I guess there are a lot.
Or maybe it was that and something else. But I thought he played a firefighter, and I think there were some Dennis Leary, classic Dennis Leary rants in that as well. So it must be what he's known for.
But the thing about the ultralight is it brings us to another conversation that I'd like to explore in the future, which is where do those cars in sci-fi movies come from? Because, you know, you see so many one-offs, you see so many things that are more or less not working vehicles, right? They're just kind of dummied up.
Yeah.
But then you see stuff like from Mad Max that where they use actual craftsmanship to make these vehicles that work, even though they're monstrous. And I mean that in the best way.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I remember you have to help me with this. The real smooth concept vehicles from Audi. They looked almost like a jelly bean.
Oh,
yeah. They were on a track. What was that film with Will Smith, right?
Was it iRobot?
It was iRobot. That's the one. Yeah, I forgot the name of it, but that's it. That's it. And they were on that the track that you could hop on and off.
Yeah.
I seem to remember seeing a car from there, you know, one of the mock-up cars that had Audi badging on it for sale on eBay or something like that. You know, it was just a shell, a dummy shell, but it looked really cool. I mean, it'd be a great thing to put in the lobby of your business or something, but beyond that, you know, it's good for nothing really. I mean, you put it in your garage, you put it on a trailer and take it to shows maybe.
Right.
But that's about it. I don't even know if it rolled really.
Send it to a museum.
Looked like it just sat on the ground. Oh, this car, I should mention this too. It was used in the second season of Sequest DSV and in the 1999 movie Bicentennial Man as well. So it got around. I don't know where it lives now. I would bet anything that this car is in the GM Heritage Center right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. There, you know, that place is like Alibaba's treasure cave.
Oh, yeah. You don't ever get to see the whole thing. In fact, you have to be invited into the Heritage Center to begin with.
Right.
And then even when you're there, you don't see the whole collection.
No, so, there are like three people who can do that.
It's very exclusive.
Now, I want to talk, speaking of exclusive, I'd like to talk about another one-off, the Pontiac Trans Am Experimental Camback.
Camback. Oh, I like Camback cars.
Yeah. So check this out. This is just from 2010, but you see how they've got the rear there?
Yeah.
So the rear has a bay that opens with gullwing doors.
Oh, cool.
On either side. And it has a far superior aerodynamics, which equals better top speed, better MPG, but it also has more storage space. This was based on 85 Trans Am.
So you know what? It looks like a Trans Am wagon is what it looks like.
It's like a Trans Am wagon.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
You know those old Corvette wagons that we talked about in the first episode?
Yeah.
It's very, very similar in design. So camback designs, I've always loved that body style.
It has, 190 horsepower, and has a 305 cubic inch V8, but there is a catch. Well, sold recently, by the way, but there is a catch, Scott.
What's the catch?
If you drive it, you'll have a great time as long as you're on a closed course. The Trans Am camback has no VIN number and cannot be registered.
Oh, okay. So it's non-street legal. It's never intended for production, never intended to be on the road.
No.
Just a show car.
It's literally never going to make it to the road.
Well, that's just like most of these cars in this list, I would guess, right? You know, the Motorama cars and all those, you know, they a lot of times it's the manufacturers that are making them. They don't bother registering them.
Now, another one that is on your list, this one's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I found this one interesting. I just love the shape of this one. Mm-hmm. I think this one looks really cool. It's from the 1970s, late 1970s. It's the Chrysler Cordoba de Oro. Mm-hmm. And I hope I'm saying that right, but we'll see. I guess maybe listeners will write in with a correct pronunciation of this one. But it's a concept that was designed by Elwood Engel, based on the C-body chassis with very thin A-pillars. Now, okay, there's a couple of reasons I picked this.
Okay.
A couple of reasons. Well, maybe three.
All right.
One is that it looks fantastic. I like the looks.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
It's got kind of a shark nose front end, almost like the Mako Shark Corvette had. Very similar if you look at it carefully, like the top photo there.
Yeah.
The other thing is that just mentioning thin A pillars right now puts me in your side, in your corner.
That's true.
Let's take a sidebar right here.
Okay, sidebar.
I'm having a hell of a time with my new vehicle and my wife's new vehicle. Seeing people in parking lots because of the gigantic A-pillars in cars now.
Yeah, you got thick A-pillars on those, both of those.
I know why they're there. I understand it's the rollover safety thing. It's like it's a federally mandated thing that they're, you know, the crush weights, I guess. If it rolls over, it's designed to hold up. However, they are so big and so obtrusive now. And I find so many times when I'm in a parking lot making a turn or trying to exit a parking space or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
There's either a full vehicle, depends on how far away it is, or a person that happens to be right in that spot where I can't see. And as I move the vehicle, it tracks with the person.
And
you get closer and closer, and you don't realize that the person's thinking you're a jerk. You don't see them because the A-pillars are just so gigantic now. And if you look at the older cars, and I got in my older car, that's the third point, by the way. I got in my my Newport not long ago and just kind of sat in the seat, you know, just because – why not?
Right.
And sat in the seat, and I noticed how thin the A-pillars were on it. And I know, you know, it'd be awful if it rolled over, sure. But it was almost a luxury to be able to see so well out of that vehicle, you know, to be able to see.
Right.
And this one has exceptionally thin A-pillars. And I believe that, you remember the, I want to say it was the Norseman, I think.
Yeah.
That had a cantilever design that had, I want to say that it had no A-pillars in that design.
Yeah, you're correct.
So the only place that the roof was attached was at the back, at the C-pillar area. Mm-hmm. I guess it would be the back end of the vehicle now becomes the A-pillar, right?
Yeah.
That's
now it's the A-pillar. It's the only pillar.
Yeah, strange for the Norseman. But this one, this Cordoba from 1979, has such thin A-pillars. I thought that was a cool thing to have. I know that's dangerous, but the other reason that I wanted to point out of this is Elwood Engel was the guy that designed my car, the one that's in my garage.
Oh, yeah.
He was the chief of design from 1961 to 1974, and I think he retired in 1973, but he stuck around to consult until about 1974. Mm-hmm. Now, they based it on the C-body that was this is kind of strange. It's a 1979 concept. This guy retired in 1974, so it's kind of strange how that works out. He must have come back in for consulting on this whole thing and penned this one, but they didn't build it until then or something like that. And just one last little mention I want to say about this, and why I'm bringing this up is because not my car. My car was like a you know, family vehicle. You know, it wasn't anything special, really.
Yeah.
He was known for designing all of Chrysler's muscle cars. He was the guy that was in office at that very critical time of Chrysler's history. So this vehicle, even though it's way out into the 1970s, it kind of has a tie to that Chrysler muscle car history. And you could see it in the design.
Yeah.
I mean, by 1979, they weren't building stuff like that anymore. So it's kind of a throwback to that. And I found this car really, really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad you showed it. I had not actually heard of this one beforehand. And I want to see if you have heard of this other one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The Alfa Romeo Bat 5.
Oh, Ben, you know what? I saw the Bat cars, all three of them.
No way. It's so like 5, 7, and 9?
Yeah, at the place in Las Vegas. It was a place called the Auto Collections, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's an old parking structure that they have the cars parked off on the side. I've talked about this in the past.
But, right.
You walk up the middle aisle, it's carpeted and everything. It's really nice, and they change it all the time. It's for sale. I think this is part of a special exhibit. Maybe they weren't for sale, but beautiful cars. They have a really unique design, don't they?
Yeah, and it varies because that's one of the things that they really spent a lot of time on with the Bat series. They were working with aerodynamic stability and creating stuff that could use purely design to eliminate drag coefficient, to maximize efficiency of energy. And what they came up with, at least in the case of a Bat 5, is something that looks like a comic book supervillain would drive. And that's why I love it.
Yeah, winged cars, right?
Yeah.
They have wings, but
they
the
have wings,
wings
on the bat.
But the wings curl up and they have different shapes to them. It's really a curved glass, I believe, don't they?
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Beautiful designs. And to see them all in one place was really interesting. And I didn't really know exactly what I was looking at when I saw them. I know I took a few probably grainy old, camera phone photos with an old flip phone that I had or something, at the time, because it was years and years ago. But man, that is that's a great pick, Ben.
Thank you. And although the Bat series didn't quote unquote make it in that there are no production cars of them, there is an update. In 2008 in Geneva, but not at the Geneva Auto Show, Alfa Romeo introduced a new one, the Bat 11.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Have you here?
I have not. And you know what? Just for reference. Oh, that looks very similar.
Yeah.
Just for reference, that would have been right around the time when I saw them in Las Vegas. So maybe they were out and making a tour or something or on their way to the show.
Maybe that's connected.
Yeah.
That's one of the cars that were I a supervillain, I would be driving. And
one of the older ones, right?
Yeah, Bat 5 for sure.
Yeah, so this 11 looks really cool, though.
The 11 looks cool. The 11 looks a little bit more, I guess, orthodox, you know? It doesn't have the same just strange, bizarre emphasis on flow of air. You can see that it clearly takes some lessons learned from the Bat 5 and 7 and 9, but it looks like they mainstreamed it a little bit, especially in that front hood.
Sure.
In the grill.
You know what when I think of when I see those Bat vehicles, I think of, this is very appropriate, I guess. I mean, you see the like manta rays when they're in the water and their wings curl up at the tips.
Yeah.
It's that kind of shape and it's clear in all three of those and not so much in the last one.
No.
That carried over.
There's something more like round about that.
Still looks good.
That still looks good. But if I could pick one, it'd be the Bat 5.
Yeah.
And I would fight, superheroes.
Other superheroes? Oh, because you'd be the bad guy.
I'd be the bad
guy.
You can't be a hero and drive a car like that, Scott.
That's true.
I think,
what about Batman?
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Batman has the Batmobile.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for him.
Well, and I'm saying he's a good guy, right?
Yeah, he is a good guy.
Well, up until recently when they made him the bad guy, but
I'd have to rename the car then, I think.
Yeah.
I'd name it, we already use Falcon Face Punch. Well, write in and let us know what you think is a good name for a supervillain vehicle.
Falcon Face Punch. Yeah, that's a nice one. All right.
Or the Ford Face Punch.
You know what? Me. I'm going to choose for my next one another Chrysler. And this is, I'll tell you why I chose this in a moment. It's called the Chrysler Shake from 1970, and it's by Bertone. And it is this is so unusual for Chrysler to do this. It's a beach buggy prototype that's based on the rear engine Simca 1200S. Now, the Simca, I included a photo here of the Simca just for reference. It's a French vehicle that was built between 1962 and 1971. And there's really nothing all that remarkable about the Simca in that photograph, at least that one anyways.
Yeah.
It's just the underpinnings of that vehicle. But they put a beach buggy body on it, and it's a little bit like the Myers Manx in that, you know, it has that similar look, but it's definitely different. It's distinctively different from that. And you'll have to see the photos to understand what I mean, but I'll get a photo posted on our Facebook sometime soon. But I love the shape of this vehicle. It's really, really cool. And it's like, it's sort of,
it's longer than a beach buggy. It's longer than a typical beach buggy would be.
Yeah, it's got a little longer wheelbase. It's a rear engine again, and it's got a chrome roll bar. It's got chrome air horns on the top. It's got roll bars grab bars on the side. Seating for two, it looks like. Maybe four. It could be four. But the seats are made of that material that's like the old lawn chair design with the woven webbing. The seats are kind of like that because it's got this beach theme, I guess. But I think if you look at it closely, though, in the photos, I think that is probably more like seatbelt material that they've used. So it's not really, really cheap. It's just it's a different look. It's kind of a cool thing. Again, just around a metal frame. The shape of it, I just love it. It's very aggressive looking. It's got off-road tires, kind of like an ATV would have today because they're not very big. It's very small tires.
Mm-hmm.
Fold-down windshield or, flip-down windshield. It's a really cool looking vehicle. And if you've never seen one, it's called the Chrysler Shake, again, from 1970.
Yeah. Look it up. Tell us what you think. I think it's even more interesting just when you see it in comparison with the Simca itself.
Yeah. Cause it's such a dramatic difference from the Simca to this vehicle, but that's what they use for the base. And it's kind of like, the one that we just talked about, the Hustler 6 and the Hustler 4, how they use the Mini underpinnings, but it doesn't look anything like a Mini.
All right. Scott, coming up next, I think we've got something that you are going to really enjoy, my friend.
Okay. Hit me with it.
All right. It's the Lincoln Futura. 1955.
Oh yeah, of course. Love this one. I really do.
Yeah, it's got the odd canopy. It's all clear. It's all like you can see everything, which is not that practical on a hot day, clearly.
Sure.
But it's got some of those same stylized, retro futuristic cues. You know, it's got the wing vents coming out at the back. It's got a ginormous, like just the width of this thing.
This is back when GM and the designers and the American public really was fascinated with the design of cars kind of mimicking rocketry, you know, like airplanes and jets and rockets and spaceships and all that. And this one definitely shows a lot of those characteristics in the design. And that's not the most maybe interesting part of the Lincoln Futura from 1955, is it, Ben?
No, it's not. And this is something that, you know, we went through a phase where we were all about these cars on the show, too. And there's a little bit of trivia here, but I think you should do the honors, Scott.
Well, I think most of our listeners will probably already know this, but this is the car that became the original Batmobile.
Yeah, modified in 1966 by George Barris, who we've discussed on the show before.
He bought the car for $1.
Yeah.
$1 from GM.
Right, because for... Let's see, since 55, it had really been just mothballed.
Yeah, it was just put away somewhere. I mean, it didn't look all that great when it came to George Barris. I mean, it was definitely not in show condition by any means. So when he took it, you know, he looked at that and there was another vehicle. And I wish I could remember, there were two vehicles that he bought at the exact same time and he chose to make the Futura the Batmobile. So it's interesting to think if he had chosen the other vehicle. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've posted something about that.
Yeah, I think you have.
Yeah. Ah, well, we'll get around to it.
So that is one of my picks for cars that I wish made it, even though I know it's kind of impractical. I still would love, my day would be better in traffic if I saw some of these vehicles on the road. And that's sort of my methodology episode.
Oh, I love that vehicle. I love everything about that design. I wish it had gone through into production exactly the way it was. That would have been fantastic. There's a few other cars like that too that had airplane fuselage type looks to them.
Right,
like the big Cadillac that we saw when we went to the High Museum with the Harley Earl cars and all that. There's something about that era of concept vehicles that it stands out. It's amazing. All right, I've got one more, Ben, and then that's the end of my list.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's have a drum roll.
This is the Citroën Visa Lotus from 1982, and this is what Citroën called their Genesis project.
Hmm.
And it's a homologation special, so it's a vehicle that was it mimics the rally car, the race car, because they're trying to get into the World Rally Championship Group B series. You remember the famous Group B rally vehicles that we both love so much?
Yeah.
And they had to build two prototypes of this vehicle, and this is one of them that we're looking at here in these photos. They use the mid-engine rear-wheel drive Esprit chassis, so the Lotus Esprit, you know, the bigger the James Bond vehicle, I guess, the one that turned into a submarine.
Right.
That vehicle. And then they paired that, but that one had the 16 valve 2.2 liter engine with, a Visa body. So it's like a kind of a nondescript, hatchback body that they put on top of this thing. So you can imagine how potent of a vehicle this is already. And they add, of course, the aero skirts and, you know, all the air intakes and the box wheel flares. And it looks really, really cool. It's a really interesting looking, hatchback design. Sort of along the lines of a Renault 5 vehicle, the Turbo 5. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Similar to that, not exactly. You'll have to see it to understand what I mean, but there are only two that were ever built, and this is the only one that exists today, the one that we're looking at in this photograph. And again, I'll get a photo of this up on our Facebook at some point, maybe not right away. So, you know, the reason it was abandoned, why did they stop building this one? And this is, again, 1982. It wasn't necessarily because the series ended or anything like that, because that happened in 1986. So what happened was the competitors were starting to switch to all-wheel drive setups. So, you know, like Audi was in there with their Quattro vehicle, and this one would never, ever compete with it. It just wasn't going to stand up to the competition. So they abandoned this whole project, and this was kind of like an orphan vehicle, I guess.
Ouch.
Yeah, really. I mean, so, you know, too bad, but at least one of them exists, and it's Citroën's Heritage Center. That's where it's on display right now.
And If you are lucky enough to see it, we would love to see some pictures, especially if you can get under the hood.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I don't know how you swing that in a museum.
Well, you have to get under the hatch, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. Way in the back.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I should have said hatch.
That's all right. What's going to be up front there? Maybe a matching luggage set.
Oh, man, I can't believe you said that.
In a Group B rally car.
What do you think about that? I get the idea of opulence and luxury, but this whole thing about, like, matching luggage.
I may surprise you with this one. I'm all for it because if you buy a car that is, like, a specific type of car, if you buy a car that is, like a Ferrari or something like
that. Oh, I know. I already know what you're going to say.
It fits.
Right.
Otherwise, you can't find a piece of luggage that fits. And they design that stuff so that it fits the exact space that they have. You know, the dimensions are perfect for it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would say it's a little bit of not a waste, but I mean, it's an extravagance, I suppose.
Sure.
If you have a big Bentley or a Rolls Royce or something, and you've got lots of room, not necessarily any need to buy matching luggage other than just, you know, appearance, and that's kind of cool.
Right.
But yeah, something like that, a very specific thing like sports car, I'd say that, if you've got the opportunity, go for it. What's your opinion? Because that probably changed your view, right?
No, that makes sense. It doesn't change my view on the practice itself. I can see how, especially if we're talking about a high performance car that has very small storage space, but still wants to be seen as luxurious, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, high powered. I can see how you would need to have some sort of custom built thing that would fit the strange, awkward size of your trunk or your boot or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. That makes sense. But with that being said, then why don't all cars do that? See, why can't we automatically have for things like Corollas, you know, or an Accord? Why can't there just be I'm not saying some super fancy leather, luggage set, but some storage things that are already built into the trunk?
Or how about this idea? I like what you're saying. I'm going to springboard off of that idea say, because I'm an idea guy. I can't really implement anything, but I'm an idea guy.
You're a regular Noel Brown.
Yeah. How about a set of golf clubs that fit the vehicle? Now, I know you can't do anything about the length of the golf clubs themselves.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of these manufacturers like Cadillac and Lexus and all that, they will say that, you know, you can fit three sets of golf clubs in the back of the trunk here.
Right. Yeah.
It's easy to do.
It's right? Like, so, a unit of measurement.
Yeah, that's right. But that varies so much in size that it seems like if they were to make custom golf bags that, you know.
Smart.
Well, maybe. I don't know, because you still have the problem of having, you know, whatever length clubs for, you know, somebody who's 6 foot tall or somebody who's 5 feet tall.
What about collapsible clubs? That would probably wouldn't work.
You know, it's another idea. It's an untapped market, Ben.
I feel like now we're getting to inventions that never made it.
Yeah. It probably just gave somebody a $1 million idea.
Oh, guys, don't steal the million. Look, I need the money. So I am going to close though with, one last vehicle that we're not going to go into much depth on today.
All right.
You know, earlier you and I didn't quite come to blows, but we disagree about the, Diora. And I respect your decision, though I do not agree with it.
Okay.
There's one other one that I think you might completely agree with, and it's a car that never made it.
I'm intrigued.
Scott, I'm talking about the safety car. I'm talking about the Aurora safety car. I don't want to say too much because we're going to look into this in a future episode, other than to say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Whoever was designing this should have looked at it a couple more times.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're on the same page here. That is, I'll just say it, it's an ugly car.
Can I say this on the air? The front of the car, you know, there's this purposeful thing that designers do, right? And when they're hacking human psychology and they make the front end of a vehicle sometimes resemble a face, right?
Yeah, sure.
Two headlights, grill. Maybe a little bit of badging right in the middle. But this, while it might humanize the car, this can go horribly wrong. And it went horribly wrong in the case of the Aurora safety car. I hope I don't get in trouble for speaking plainly on this, Scott. But with all due respect to the intentions of the designer, this thing looks like it's smiling like a jackass, you know?
And, oh, yeah.
And this is one of the cars I'm glad never made it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's not a pretty sight. And I think somebody recently found this vehicle and restored it. Maybe there's more to come on this vehicle. What do you think?
Yeah, there's more to come because we mentioned the, we mentioned that it is ugly, and I'm torn because, as we'll find in the future, the intentions of the designer and some of the function of the vehicle are actually quite clever.
Yeah, there were some revolutionary ideas implemented on this vehicle, that's for sure. The execution of that that plan, though, kind of went awry at some point.
Right.
Clearly.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens.
He needed help.
He needed a little help, and we are talking about the designer of the vehicle, but that's all we'll say for now. That's the last thing I have.
Boy, we have gone the gamut here. We started out with Rally North America. By the way, go to rallynorthamerica.com and support our friend Glenn. We also talked about, the second set of vehicles, you know, the concept vehicles, the one-offs, whatever. We did a lot of those today. We talked about A-pillars. About my lousy project car that's still sitting in the garage doing nothing. We talked about fitted luggage.
We did.
We talked about an exceptionally ugly vehicle at the end of the show here.
Uh-huh.
And possibly another car stuff topic in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Man, where else can we go from here?
Well, I guess now it's time to go to my favorite part of the show, which we'll be hearing from the listeners. We asked in our earlier episode about concept cars that never made it. Is there one that you are inspired by, having heard the conclusion of what became our series on cars that never made it? If so, we'd like to hear it. Or do you have an opinion? I don't know. I'm going to open a dangerous door, Scott. Noel, you guys got my back, right?
I do.
All right.
I didn't hear Noel.
Okay. I'll take your vaguely accusatory nod as a signal to go on, Noel.
And by the way, we need to get him in there for that Diora vote because I have a feeling that Noel will be on my side on this one.
Are you serious?
I do.
All right.
Maybe results later.
We'll hey, have- and you guys vote as well, too. Dodge Diora. Love it or hate it. Fur it or again it.
Oh, another fur it or again it.
Are you fur it or again it?
Sure.
I am again. And you were fur.
Definitely fur.
So also let us know if there are any other vehicles that we talked about today that you think we got completely wrong. These are amazing or these are garbage and why and vehicles that we should have mentioned so we can tell the rest of the listeners about some amazing cars that they may have not have heard of before.
Good idea. I like to hear from the listeners when they write in with their own suggestions. Like, actually, most of these emails start out this way. I can't believe you didn't mention this one, but there's thousands of these out there. So there's no way in our 45 minutes we had or whatever. Or I guess it'd be more like an hour and a half at this point.
We'd have to dedicate an entire show to just laundry listing. And when I say show, I don't mean an episode. I mean we'd have to make a new show called
The Cars That Never Made It.
Yeah. And then we would just do that.
All day long, every day. And we still would not get the end.
No, I think there would be some weird math involved about the years it would take. But in lieu of that, we are going to move on to cover some new things in upcoming episodes, and we'd like your help. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter to see some of the posts that Scott and I were talking about earlier. And here's where you come in. If you want to help us find new topics for upcoming episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us directly at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.